All right. So, the month of February, I turned 55. I turned 55, February 7th. And so, 55 years old. Didn't think I was going to live this long, honestly. As my friend says, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd taken a little bit better care of my knees. You know what I mean? But 55 years old. And also this month, February 22nd, is my spiritual birthday. So I turned 33 years old spiritually. I was baptized February 22nd, 1991. And so this has been a month of reflection for me. I've been spending a lot of time out at Tower Grove Park, which I live in South City, walking around, praying. And if I look a little puffy, it's because things are starting to buzz. And so I walk around sneezing and, you know, all the time. But I'm constantly exhausted as the spring comes upon us. My allergies just are inflamed. But it's been great to walk around and spend time reflecting on my life. 55 years old, reflecting on my spiritual life, reflecting on, man, I started this journey. I remember getting baptized, and I remember studying the Bible in 1991 and them telling me, hey, man, you can do this. And I was stalling on my baptism because I knew these guys wanted me to be all in. They wanted me to be committed. I can tell this wasn't going to be one of those fake conversions that I've been having. I had multiple of those, you know, those fake ones, you know what I'm saying? Many of them, and nothing changed. And I'm like, okay, these guys are going to hold me accountable. They actually expect me to live like a Christian. I'm going, yeah, can I hold this off maybe until I graduate from college? And they're like, no, you need to follow Jesus now. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to. So I was coming up with all these reasons why I shouldn't get baptized because I didn't want to stop my sin. But I remember when I finally made a decision, I said, I'm going to do it. And I remember praying, thinking, God, help me to get through a month of being a Christian. You know what I mean? I just want to be pure for 1 month. I want to be godly for a month. I didn't think I could do this for a month. And then I'd bump into these old Christians in my campus ministry. I've been a disciple for 2 years. I'm like, 2 years? You've been doing this for 2 years? Are you crazy? How do you do this for 2 years? How do you stay a Christian and stay pure and be righteous? I couldn't imagine it. But it's been 33 years. 33 years. That's amazing. I wouldn't be married. I couldn't stay. I would never have been able to be faithful to a woman. I didn't know anyone that was faithful to their spouses. I didn't really. My stepdad is the only guy I knew, okay? And I questioned him sometime as I was growing up, you know? I would follow my stepdad. He'd go around the corner to the bar. I'd follow him and see if he was, because I thought everyone cheated. But 33 years of being faithful, 33 years of quiet times, 33 years of communion, 33 years of singing some of the same old songs and some new songs, but 33 years of being a disciple. It's been amazing. I praise God. And there are some of you that have been faithful for longer than that. I think Carlton goes back to, you know, Moses or something like that, you know? He was around when they were writing the great songs of the kingdom, you know what I mean? But I appreciate, I thank God. But this parable, it really does kind of make me think even today and reflect on, though I've been doing this for 33 years, it's good for me to kind of take a step back and to kind of look at myself. This parable, this wise and foolish builders, it comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is some 2,000 words. It's, you know, over 100 verses. And there's a lot in there. There's 50-some imperatives along with a lot of other things that Jesus attaches onto those things. It's packed, chock full of good stuff. And right at the end, Jesus actually does a 4-part conclusion to this, to the Sermon on the Mount. But this, he concludes with this in Matthew 7, verse 24. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And I think about, as long as I've been a disciple, am I still a wise builder? Am I still one? And I can say that my foundation, it's still on the rock. It's something that I've been thinking about. Like, am I maybe not as energetic as I was in the beginning? Maybe I don't have the same type of energy, but do I have the same type of love and faith? Is my faith deeper now after 33 years? Are my convictions deeper now after 33 years? Am I still standing solid? Or have I begun to build on other things? The Sermon on the Mount is, as I said, real extensive teaching of Jesus. And it really answers the question that I believe the book of Matthew really is written about. Matthew answers, it presents Jesus as the Messianic King. It answers that question, who the Messianic King is. But Jesus, in the book of Matthew, it is also a call to be exclusively and undividedly faithful to Jesus. That's what this book is about. It's introducing us to the King. He is the one. He is the Messiah. And make no mistake about it, Jesus is saying, I expect 100% exclusive and full, undivided commitment to me. And so we'll tackle just these two points. Amen. Verse 24 through 29 sort of makes clear the point that following Jesus is the only way to eternal life. And then the second part of that says this: Jesus is unlike any of his predecessors or any of his contemporaries. There really is just sort of these two very powerful things. Verse 26 says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Point number one, salvation is by following Jesus alone. Following Jesus alone. It's all about Jesus. It's only and exclusively always about Jesus. Jesus says here that the person who does, I want you to look at this, if you can put these up side by side, there really is only two words in the Greek that sort of differentiate between the two types of people. It says the first person, the wise man, built this house on the rock. It says the rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But it says, everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice, they're foolish. It says that the rain will come down, the streams will rise, the winds will blow, it will beat against that house, and the house will fall with a crash. The only difference in these two people is this: both people heard, but only one did. Everyone heard, but only one did. In fact, Jesus goes on to say that the thing that distinguishes you from everyone else is that you do. You don't just hear. That real followers of Jesus, they don't just hear the message, they do the message. The question I'm asking myself after 33 years, Vince, are you still doing or are you only hearing? The question we got to ask ourselves constantly, am I a doer or am I just a hearer? I hear the message. And you think about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was obviously talking to his disciples, but there are large crowds as he's teaching, and they hear as well. What Jesus says to his disciples and what he says to the crowd, there's a difference between those who hear and those who hear and do. In fact, the only sign of you being a follower of mine is that you hear and that you do. The phrase these words of mine sort of drive this entire text. Those who hear these words of mine and do these words of mine, they are really my disciple. Again, this statement comes at the end of 2,000 words that we know of here written. And 50 different commandments. Jesus is saying, you've got to do the words of mine. I want you to understand this. Jesus isn't saying that one commandment is more important than the other. He's not saying of all the imperatives, all the things he brought up, Jesus is saying everything I just preached about on the Sermon on the Mount, everything I just talked about, you hear them, you do them. You either take it all or you reject it all. You're either all in or you're not at all. I say this because after 33 years, I've got to ask myself, have I begun to think and say things like, you know, I've been around long enough. That thing right there, I don't know. That's maybe for the young Christians to do, but not so much for me. After 33 years, do I still have that same eagerness and fervor, if you will, to do not only the things I did at first, but to do everything? After 33 years, I should be doing more. Should I be doing more after 33 years? Does God expect even more from me? Jesus intentionally says, if you do his words, you are doing the Father's will. If you do what I say, you're doing God's will. I love this. You got to imagine the crowd that's sitting there. They're thinking, what kind of scandalous teaching is this? This guy, Jesus, is saying that we've got to do what he says, his words, or we're not doing God's will. If I don't do what Jesus says, I'm not doing God's will. Can you imagine the crowd sitting there going, who does he think he is? You're equating your words with God's will? And Jesus says, yeah, absolutely. You've got to do everything I've said. If you're not, you're not following God, which was a huge problem for the Jews. They didn't want to do what Jesus says. And I guess I ask ourselves today, after 33 years and after how many of your years you've been a Christian, do you still want to do what Jesus says? I actually spent time walking around the park asking myself that question. Asking myself, can I do this for another 33 years? Do I want to do what Jesus says? Vince, you can get out now. It's been 33 years. You can opt out now if you want. You can go do something else with your life. It's good for me to sit and reevaluate myself and my soul and ask myself that question. Do I want out? Do you want out of the ministry now? Do you want out of the church now? Do you want out of Christianity now? Do you want out of your marriage now? Do you want out of being a father now? Do you want to get out of all these things now? Or are you still all in for Jesus? You want to know what the answer is? Of course. Of course I'm all in. But it's good for me because I know that if I'm not all in for Jesus, there's no way I could be a good dad. There's no way. I'm barely a good father and barely a good husband now. Barely, okay? But I would be terrible without Jesus. But this is what he's calling us to. He's saying the same thing today that he said then. Look in chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus says this. He says, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Here's another summary statement in chapter 7, verse 12. Look at this. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. What's Jesus saying? This is what he had stated prior. He said, look, if you don't do these commands and don't teach others to do these commands, then you're not living up to my standards. You've not only got to do the things, But you've got to teach others. In fact, if you don't do them and you don't teach others, then you will be least. But if you do them and you teach others, you will be considered something great in the kingdom of God. That's still the biblical standard, isn't it? That even today at 33 years as a disciple, I still have to do Jesus. And I got to be teaching others Jesus as well. And the question I got to ask myself, Vince, do you still want to do that? That's what I was asking myself this week. I had a lot of good spiritual time this week. And we went out, my wife and I did a marriage retreat, and I had a great birthday, and I got a nice gift and all of that stuff. But I spent this month thinking, like, do I still want to be in God's kingdom? Do I still want to love Jesus with all my heart? And I'm telling you, I feel more faithful today than I have in a long time. But I think it's good for us, no matter where you are. You don't have to wait until your spiritual birthday. Ask yourself now, do I still want to do Jesus more than anything else? Because he's saying, if you don't teach, then you're not doing my will. That is the call of Jesus to his disciples. Amen? Doing is the mark that distinguishes his followers from everyone else. We've got to prioritize doing Jesus' will above, over everything else. And the last point here, which is really simple. I love this. It says, when Jesus finished saying these things, it says the crowd was amazed. As I said, scandalous for Jesus to stand up and to say his words were different than everyone else. But if you read through the Sermon on the Mount, you quickly realize that Jesus is saying that I am the only way to salvation. I think when people heard Jesus talk, they thought, we have never seen anything like this before. No contemporary ever spoke with such conviction. No one prior ever spoke with such depth, such understanding. No one ever preached the way he did. They heard him say the things that no one else would. I guess my question for us today, are we still enamored with that Jesus? It's one thing to be amazed at what Jesus says, but it's another thing to do what he says. You can read through the Bible and you can be amazed. The crowds, they were often amazed. In fact, you read through, they were amazed often. Oh, no one ever spoke like this, but it didn't mean that they followed him. So my question for Vince and for all of us, are you amazed at Jesus or are you following Jesus? Are you amazed at his authority and his power only? Do you just see Jesus as the great teacher? He's so incredible. Are you just a fan of Jesus? Or are we a follower of Jesus?
All right.
You know, it's easy to be a fan. It's easy to be a fan. You know, I jumped on the Chiefs bandwagon this year. I'm a fan, but I'm not in there. I'm not in the game with them. I don't follow Mahomes. I don't follow them. I'm just a fan. And as long as they're winning, I'm a fan. If the Chiefs start losing, I'll just move on to some other team. It's the bottom line. I will. I'll move on to another team. I grew up in New Orleans. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. I grew up in New Orleans. I was a Saints fan when we were wearing bags. You know what I mean? People were so ashamed of the Saints. I'm a fan. But you know what? I really could care less. When they're not in the playoffs, if they're not moving on, I don't cry about it. I just move on. I think we've got to take our convictions, our love for Jesus. We're not just fans of the Lord. We've got to be people. We're not just amazed at his teaching, but we've got to embrace his authority in this world. Brothers and sisters, we've got to embrace the authority of Jesus in this world. Because even in our country and our culture today, Jesus is not Lord. And I tell you, I feel it more and more. I feel it from some of our disciples. I feel it from myself sometimes. Is Jesus still Lord of my life? Is Jesus still Lord of your money? Is Jesus still Lord of your time? Is he Lord of your life? Or have other things become more important? You remember as a young Christian, when you didn't miss anything? When you attended everything, when you were all out, you remember as a Christian when you made time to study the Bible with lost souls? Are we too busy now to teach and to do God's will? You remember when you were happy to give your possessions? You were happy to sit in this hot room and sweat, okay? But you were joyful about showing up to things, being part of things. Because Jesus was the authority in your life. He's all that mattered. It wasn't about people. It wasn't about men. It wasn't about anything. It was only, exclusively, 100% about Jesus. I tell you, he's the one that paid the price for us. And I can assure you that even today, now for all of us, for myself included, that we've got to really think about, is he still the most important thing? And is he really the authority in my life? If that's the case, then let's do another 33 years. I don't know if I'll be around another 33 years. That would put me at what? My knees will definitely be gone then, okay? But maybe I'll last another 33 years. But I hope the next 33 years are full of faith, full of conviction. Like never before, I'm more devoted, more convicted. Maybe I can't do exactly the things I used to. Maybe I'm nodding off in Bible studies. You know, I'm not as attentive as I used to be, but I hope that I am as vigorous, that I have that Caleb spirit, that I still have that give me that hill country spirit, and I hope that you are with me as we do great things for God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand for one closing song.